Calvary Baptist Church. Happy anniversary again, church, for the 77 years, and I know that Pastor has set aside this year to look at the reflection of a fresh start down an old path. 77 years now completed, but now we're going to start a fresh start down an old path. Every year, the same concept. The next steps will be yours. What are you going to do in the next step of your life? What are you going to do with the things that God's done for you and in you? We appreciate so much the privilege to sing and to participate in the service by preaching of the Word of God. And looking forward to a good time this afternoon with you as we go to God's Word. If you have your Bible, let's go to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. I was going to say some things here in the beginning as you're turning there. You know, a lot of times the way you say things and the words that you use have to be set properly to make things sound better. For example, I would say, it's good to be here on this chilly anniversary Sunday. Now, if I say it that way, it's like it's cold outside. Yeah. But if I say it's good to be here on this anniversary Sunday where we had chili, yeah, that's wonderful too. Amen. And I'll tell you what, it seems like the Lord multiplied there today. We felt like, I think we ate all the food and there's 12 crock pots that remain, you know, and the things that were in there. And we talk about the bread of heaven, the manna of God, you know. I don't want to belittle the manna that God provided for the children of Israel there, but He provided bread for us. Had a little cinnamon on it today, amen. A lot of other stuff there and the activity. And then, of course, we went on to strong meat, a lot of chili, amen. And so you can make a lot of analogies there, but I better stick with the book, amen. So Romans chapter number 5, I know that you've been sitting and standing and sitting and standing, but let's stand again, all right, if you would, in honor of God's Word, if you're able. Then I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11, ask you would to follow along. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Haven't we read some of this earlier this morning? Something kind of tied into this. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. For a few moments this afternoon, I'd like to talk about some blessings of being justified by faith. Some blessings of being justified by faith. May God bless read His Word. You may be seated. I personally believe, and of course my opinion could be wrong, I personally believe that Romans is the strongest doctrinal book that the Apostle Paul wrote. Dealing in the first 5 or 6 chapters here with some great words dealing with justification, redemption, sanctification, eventually one day a promise of being glorified with the Father in heaven. Hey, I'm looking forward to a place called heaven. How about you? It's not just having a great time on the earth and enjoying God's people, enjoying God's Word and growing in grace, but one day that promise we have of being in the presence of the One who gave His life for us. The Creator of this universe has a place prepared for those that love Him. So we find that Paul begins to write about this, and he talks about the importance of being justified, and then he tells us of some blessings of justification that we have in our lives. In particular, chapters 5 through 8 talk about the joy and the thanksgiving that a believer should have because of what God has done for him. And I understand that in my life that sometimes I'll have situations that may not be comfortable to my life, but God's still God. There may be things I face in my life and I wonder or I question perhaps why God's allowing this, but God is still sovereign. And the end result, God does all things well. And no matter what situation we face, we know that the grace of God can sustain us and strengthen us. He may not take away our infirmities or our troubles of life, but His grace will always be sufficient. So Paul records here in chapter number 4 these last words, look if you would please, in verse number 25, said, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, chapter 4 speaks to us about the importance of Abraham's righteousness apart from the law and apart from his works. It was basically he believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. And by the way, today, we have never seen God in the flesh. But by faith, we believe that he is. Amen. By faith, his word declares to us who he is. And we believe what the word of God says. And we live out our life by faith. Well, it says that we find that he's been resurrected from the dead. We have a hope and a joy in him. So what we find here, first of all, this afternoon, is that being justified offers blessings to us. And I'm not going to give you all the blessings, just some of the blessings of being justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace when we stand. I reminded us this morning in Sunday school about the importance of everyone having a part in the local church. The mystery of the church being revealed. We mentioned in Sunday school the importance of a personal walk with God and a desire to take the next step to add to our faith, to do what we can to grow in the things of the Lord. And the choice will be yours, beloved. But we also understand that God always seems to do his part. We just need to do ours. So it says, verse number 1, therefore. That's a connector back to chapter number 4, which relates to us the importance of being declared righteous. Now, I've been declared righteous, that is past tense. Therefore, being justified by faith. You can know you're saved today. You can know you're part of the family of God, not by what we do, but what Christ has done for us. We can find this righteousness declared. So it's not just the idea of a feeling that I have. It's a situation of a standing that I have in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. It says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How do we have this peace? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, my friend, have been declared innocent of charges that were brought against us when we went against the Savior as a sinner. And while we were in our sin, Christ died for us. What victory we have in that. So peace with God is not just a cessation of hostility. Peace with God goes beyond that. It talks about a relationship of health and joy and excitement with God. We can have a relationship with the Creator of the universe and the Savior of our soul. The next blessing we see here besides this peace, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So what we find here, it says, we have grace to stand. Not just grace to fall, but grace to stand. We have access to God by grace. If we're saved by the grace of God, then we have access to God by His wonderful grace. Now, my wife and I have been blessed over the years with children. 4 children. All those children are now married. And those children are growing up. They have their jobs. All of them are saved. All their spouses are saved. What a blessing right there. We have been blessed with 1 granddaughter in heaven and 11 grandsons on the earth. And those 11 grandsons, the oldest is 12, the youngest is 1. And out of those, I think 5 of them are already saved and praying for their salvation. I think five of them are already saved. And we've seen some of them get baptized. And what a joy that is in our heart to know that God is working in their lives. What a great blessing it is. And so my wife and I sometimes... We have the privilege to, because we have some of them living in our area. Matter of fact, within the last year, we never dreamed this would happen, but in the last year, God allowed our oldest son, who was an associate pastor in Indiana, to become a pastor in Oklahoma. And so we now have 5 grandsons within 35 miles from us that weren't there before. So within an hour of where we live, all the way around the metro area, we have 11 grandsons and their parents. Yeah, amen. And so from time to time, we brave it, and we allow the children to come over to our house to spend the night. And so Brother Tom, on a Friday night a few months back, I guess for our summer tour, we had a Friday night, and we let them spend the night, and we wanted to take them to the Science Museum. They'd never been to the Science Museum, most of them. And so we wanted to take them to the Science Museum, and so we had to take 2 vehicles. We had, I think, 6 of them. Is that correct? Had 6 of them. 3 in my car, 3 in her car, and we drove to the Science Museum, and we got our tickets and everything, you know, and had a great time. Well, they were just going into all these places, and you that may have been to the Science Museum in Oklahoma City know what I'm talking about. It's a lot of space, a lot of things, a lot of stuff. And so these little boys are all excited. Pappy, go with me to the earthquake room. Pappy, go over here. Pappy, look at this over here. That's what they call me, Pappy. They call her Grammy or Graham, and they call me Pappy. They say, Pappy, come here. Pappy, and they're pulling me all these different ways, Brother Jeff. Yes, everywhere, just pulling me everywhere. They're all excited about it. Well, we spend 4 or 5 hours there, you know, and I'm about slap wore out. Yeah. And they're just really moving like the Energizer Bunny. Yeah. And they're saying, we have, Pappy, why do we have tickets? Let's look at this over here. What, can we look at this over here? And they're all excited. Well, after 4 or 5 hours, we have to go home. And so we get in the car. We're heading back to the house, you know. And they, as we're getting ready to go back, before we exit out the car, I took them aside and said, did you enjoy the science museum? Oh, yes, we really enjoyed it, Pappy. We're going to tell Mom and Dad. Hopefully they can come back. And so what we did was, while we were there, we found out that you could buy an annual pass for just a little bit more than it was the regular entrance fee. And you could go anytime you wanted, as much as you wanted during the whole year. And so we told them that we had done something special that wasn't just a one-time thing, that Pappy and Graham, we bought an annual pass for you. You now have access for a whole year to the Science Museum. And so they started singing, Pappy's awesome, Pappy's awesome, Pappy's awesome, and Graham is too, Pappy's all, you know. And so because now they have, and so they told their parents. And their parents, actually they've been 3 or 4 times or more already. And the parents are going and they're learning much, and they have all these special times of the year where they can have these different things coming in, different shows coming in, different things happening, and you get discount tickets to other places in the city too when you get this annual pass. And so they think that Pappy and Graham are just so awesome because they have this annual pass and they can go anywhere they want and see all these things as often as they want to go. So they try to talk their parents into it as much as they can to go over there. And I'm thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great if God's people realize they have access to Him each and every day? We have access to God in this grace when we stand. We gave them access for 1 year to something just temporary. But we have the opportunity, beloved, to be in the access of God. By the grace of God, we have been saved. And by faith that we have in His Word, because He's given us the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit of promise, we have access to God, to this grace wherein we stand. And every moment, anytime, any place, anywhere, we can commune with God. We can have His Word to direct our lives. We have the joy of the Holy Ghost indwelling the believer, as I said this morning. We have everything we need to stand victorious in the light of God, and we can go boldly to the throne of grace. You may have an opportunity today to have money in the bank, but the banks are usually closed on Sunday. Or you might find some store that might be open today with some of banking, but you have one of those ATM cards, an automatic teller machine card. And if you have any money and you have a bank closed, you can still get a few dollars out if you need to. You have access to it. If I called the President of the United States today and said, hey, I'd like to talk to President Obama, I don't have access because I'm not part of his family, I'm not part of his cabinet, and he doesn't know who I am. No access. If I gave you my computer and said, Pastor, here's my computer, could you do my homework for me? And so he's starting to do my homework, grading papers. He can't get any access because he doesn't know my password. He doesn't know my password. There's so many practical ways we can look at this access thing that we can just understand today that God has given you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we have access to the Creator of the universe. We have access to God. One of the blessings of justification is that you and I have access to God, to this grace wherein we stand. We understand we're saved by grace, and if we need help, God will help us in our time of need. Our little grandkids are starting to grow up, and as you watch them, they begin to waddle from time to time, and then sometimes they'll fall. And you want to just get them that first step. You know, you're hoping they'll take that first step on their own and step out. We actually have a little Benjamin. He's a little 1 year old now, and we're trying to teach him to jump from the ground up. And he jumps, but he doesn't move his feet. You know, he's jumping, but he doesn't raise off the ground yet. And it's amazing. But then at the same time, he can communicate well by verbal. And just different things will happen. And once it happens, it's like, oh, it'll work. I can stay on my feet. Oh, you know. And then sometimes it's even more. And then just different things that we'll do, we learn. So they fall over and you want to pick them back up. They may cry and not want to do it anymore. But it'd be hard if a 4-year-old was crawling the whole time. You want them to get up and walk. After they begin to walk, they start walking everywhere. Sometimes outside without permission. Sometimes they start running places. And you know what God is wanting us to do? He wants us to take that next step. To grow in grace and in knowledge. We have access to God by this grace wherein we stand. What a blessing we have in justification. But it doesn't stop there. Look at the latter part of verse 2 there. It talks about the hope that we have in God, the joy that we have in Him. It says in verse number 2, it says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We can rejoice in the glory of God even if we're facing suffering and heartache in our lives. God is still God. He takes care of our needs. He watches over us. It says, and not only so, but we also glory in tribulations. Verse 3 also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And so every experience we have in life leads us to another experience. Warren Wiersbe, and I know he wrote his commentaries years ago, but Warren Wiersbe, I think, had it right, Pastor, when he said these three things about our lives. He said, peace with God takes care of the past. We understand that God has given us that peace. He no longer holds sin against us. But he said, access to God takes care of the present. We can come to Him at any time for help in a time of need. But the hope of the glory of God takes care of the future. One day, we're going to share in His glory. We're going to see the Creator of the universe. We're going to see the One who died on Calvary for us. The Bible is real. God is real. This church has a purpose. The 77th anniversary is exciting because God is still alive. According to His life we live. We have hope in Him as we serve Him. The Jews were upset because Paul mentioned that even in adversity and trouble and persecution, God still loves you. Yes, He does. We have access to God. Listen, no matter what we face in our lives, whenever I was a boy, if I shamed my parents or I did something wrong and my dad judged me for it or punched me for it, I realized that I was forgiven that day and the next day was a new day. I still was in the family. I might have shamed the family name, but I still belonged in the family. So I'm thankful to God that we can understand that even if we face suffering, God is present with us. He will help us in our service to Him. So He gives a listing here in verses 4 to 6. And He talks about how we were without strength and how God blessed us and how He encouraged us. You see, suffering in our life produces patience. It gives us spiritual fortitude. Patience produces experience, which is proved, tested character. And then we understand that experience produces hope, confidence, and assurance. There are people that can move along, and sometimes they're confident, sometimes they're not. Have you ever read the book of Psalm, chapter number 19? It talks about the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth His handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is going out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. Every day, comes back. The heavens are out there, which is as a bridegroom coming out for a wedding, or rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Well, you think about this, you know, if you're going to run a race, you don't expect to, I'm going to lose. I'm just going to lose. No, you want to try to, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude here, but this year that we live in, you know, we have all these soccer games, you know, with our grandkids, we're trying to watch soccer and different things at certain times of year, different events, and they'll say, we're all participants. And we are. At least I hope that we are. By the way, you should be participants in church too. Some of you are just now let that sugar kick in. Thankfully, it's not the preacher, amen. But yeah, thank you. But the reality is, you know, we are participants, but those little boys and those little girls that are playing soccer, they know how to count. They scored 4. We scored 8. We're winners. Now, that doesn't mean they're bad people. But we try to teach people just to make it. We have a hope. Listen, it's like, well, I wonder if there's really a heaven. I wonder if we're ever going to get there. We have a hope for the glory of God. We have a surety in God's Word. It's not a step of faith that's just a leap in the dark. We have God's concrete promises to reveal to us what the future holds. I want to make sure we're on. What good would it be to buy a car that had no reverse? You say, well, I can get it pretty cheap. Yeah, I can see why. But there's a reason for all of this. You say, well, I would take care of that. I could fix it. Well, maybe you could, but the fact of the matter is, there's so many things in our life that we look at and we try to judge by the outward observance of it. I can remember whenever I was in high school, I ran cross country and track and field, played baseball. That was my favorite sport, baseball, but I would run track and field, and I had a 100-yard dash I would run, and I would run the 220 and then the 440 relay. That would be part of my event. You could only be in 3 of them as you ran track and field. And so the coach came to me one night and he said, Ed, our guy that runs the mile is sick. He said, could you think you could run the mile? He said, it doesn't matter how long it takes you, as long as you finish, we'll win the track meet. Could you take one for the team? Could I take you out of this? We got somebody to run the 100-yard dash. He said, could you run the 400, could you run the mile for us? And I'm thinking, how hard could it be? 4 times around the track, no big deal. I'd never done it before, but how hard could it be, Brother Tom? Couldn't be that tough. I mean, I run a 440 relay and a 220. How hard could that be? And so I get out there and I said, sure, I can do it. All I have to do is finish and we'll be able to win this track meet. I'll take it for the team. So I get out there and the gun goes off and I'm out like a rabbit. Woo-wee, having a fun time. And I'm just moving along. And the second lap, I'm still going pretty good, you know. And then about the beginning of the third lap, I'm starting to ache in places I didn't even know I had muscle. Yeah. My calf was hurting, my leg was hurting, my stomach was feeling like I was going to get upset and sick.
Yeah.
You know, some of you may be feeling that right now, I'm sorry. But I've started to run some more, you know, and next thing I know, people are passing me. They're not waving or anything, they're just passing you. It's none of this, well, God bless you, or anything like that. It's just off they went, you know. And here I watch them go around, you know, and I'm trying to make it, and I'm starting to have pains in my side, Pastor. I'm aching everywhere, it just seems like, and I'm thinking, I'm going to kill the coach. As soon as I get home, as soon as I get to the end, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to grab him around the neck, and I'm going to hang on to the Holy Ghost departs. You know, that was a way of saying I kill him, all right? And so, but I was coming up with all these thoughts in my mind, and there's no way I'm going to make it. I can't make it to the end. There's no way I can do it. And so I'm making my way around the last turn, heading into the end of lap number three. And as I'm making my way in there, all of a sudden I look back around that corner, and there's about 8 or 9 people coming right behind me. They're ready to win the race. I haven't even started lap 4 yet. They're right behind me trying to finish the race. And I'm saying, please let me, please let me. And I move over to the right side, you know, just in case, because they're going to catch up with me or whatever, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to get sick. And I guess fast. And my legs felt like jello. You know, you think you're going as fast as you can. It's like, hello, where are we? You know what I'm saying? It just seemed like it was so slow. And I made my way, and of course, I crossed before they did, which was a hallelujah right there. Yeah. And I went on around, you know. But here's the funny part about it was there were a lot of people with me. There were a lot of other track runners with me. There was like 4 or 5 other teams that were represented in this cross-country track meet, and they're all with me right there. And I'm thinking, I'm not as bad as I thought I was. But the fact of the matter was I couldn't hardly move. And so I'm trying to make my run and get about halfway around the track, and I'm thinking, I'm going to die. There's no way I'm going to make it. Please help me. I wasn't even saved at the time. But I'm, you know, I need help. Somebody help me. Then all of a sudden, something happened. I heard people say from the stadium over in the benches, run, Ed, run. Run, Ed, run. Go, Ed, go. Run, Ed, run. My name's Ed. I looked up and people that were in my high school were standing up and cheering, run, Ed, run. The coach had been going up and down the bench area there, and he said, he's not going to make it. He has to finish, otherwise we lose. Cheer him on, cheer him on, cheer him on. And I didn't know this at the time, but they're jumping up and down. They're motivating. They're trying to encourage. I don't know about you folks, but when you feel like throwing in the towel, you feel like getting sick and nobody even cares, when you get that motivation, it's like, I can do this. I can do this. It may not have been very fast, but I can do it. I can finish. I can keep going on. I'll make it. And all of a sudden, I get close to the finish line, and I cross over, and I fall flat on my face. I got sick and threw up. Literal, truly, true story. Got sick, and I looked at the coach, and I said, I am never going to do this again. He said, it's the first time you ran a mile. He said, it's a record. First time you ever, 505. You ran a 505 mile. That's incredible. I'm going, I am never going to do that again. And I don't think I have. I may have walked one or jogged one, but not ran one like that. But you know what made me get to the end? Motivation. The hope. Not that I was going to win, because I just needed to finish. And some of you folks, listen, you may think you're insignificant at Calvary Baptist Church, but God wants you to finish. He wants you to know that some of the blessings of justification is you have hope in the glory of God. You're facing rough experiences. You're facing trials in life. You're facing lack of patience. You're facing this or that. But who's there to help you in your time of need? Who's there to pick you up? I'll tell you who God is. But there's also people with skin on called believers, servants of God, that can motivate and encourage and bless each other. Hey, when you come to the house of God, it's an encouragement to your pastor and your pastor's wife. When you're here with your Bible open and your eyes open and your heart in tune with God and the song leader gets up to sing and you're able to sing the songs of Zion, what a blessing it is to be with God's people, because you know that one of these days we're all going to be together in heaven serving Him. That's a blessing of justification. Knowing who we are in Christ. So when we face experiences and troubles of life, we know we have hope in the glory of God. He'll help us in our times of need because we're justified by faith. It sets our hope in God. That's verse number 5. Our hope maketh not ashamed. Listen, I was ashamed because I thought I was going to pass out on that race. But I was motivated by those that encouraged me. And we need to encourage one another and go to the Word of God to encourage us, because hope is found in God's love. It says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. You know what that means? Shed abroad means it's been poured out. Not just a little bit, but a lot. You ever spilled some water? Looks like it was a gallon full, doesn't it? God's love has been shed abroad. It's been poured out upon us lavishly. Listen, doesn't matter what you feel like in life. He loves you so much. He sent His very best.
He gave His only begotten Son for me and for you. He desires for us to love Him, to serve Him with all of our being. The Holy Spirit works within us to help us to know and experience God's love by the Holy Ghost that's in us. He proved His love by justifying us. His everlasting love is the only remedy that we can have for redemption. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Look at verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, hey, you didn't even have any strength, no desire for God. He said, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And it begins to explain, but in verse 8, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, listen, you know the world you live in. Even somebody that you would know, you wouldn't even give your life perhaps for them. But Jesus saw us as sinners. He saw us as enemies against Him, and yet He looked at us and saw us, and He said, I want you to know that you're without strength, but I will encourage you, and I will help you, and I will love you, and I will give you victory. Well, I'll tell you what, I enjoyed that song by Frederick Lehman, and every song is exciting to us from time to time, and we all have our favorites, I'm sure. One of my favorites is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Also love to sing The Love of God. You get Frederick Lehman's song, The Love of God, you know, could we with ink the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made? I mean, you get to some of those verses and I don't know what happens. You just get overwhelmed in your heart. Maybe, and can it be that I should gain? You get to that chorus, you know, and the chains fell off. And it is well with my soul. Whatever song it might be, when we get to heaven or at Calvary, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. But thank the Lord He loved me just like I was. But He's changed my life and He's changed your life. And now we're justified. And because we're justified, we have some blessings from God. We have grace. We have peace. We have hope. We have access. We have love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Let somebody else know what God's done for you. Don't ever get over the goodness of God. Hope will not leave you disappointed. God will save you from the wrath to come and the trouble to come. One of these days, it's going to be better than Star Trek. No, beam me up, Scotty. I'm out of here with Jesus. Looking forward to that. Verse 9, much more than, not just saying better than, but much more than, being now justified, how? By His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. If God saved us from hell, He can save us from anything He desires. We're saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were, by the way, aren't you glad we're friends now? John 15, He calls us friends. He said, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Would you agree with me, friends, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin? Jesus Christ died on Calvary, was buried, and rose again. The resurrection reveals He's alive. You agree with that? We serve a risen Savior. The Bible says if we've been justified by His blood, He also says we shall be saved by His life. We serve a risen Savior. He is alive. And one day we're going to be in His actual presence. And we should live like the song says. He lives. He lives. He lives within my heart. And we can take these songs and use them. Since we've been reconciled to God by His death, we have assurance we will be saved by His life as a living Savior. We ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice every day, no matter what adversity or circumstance or trial we face, because we have been blessed with many blessings, grace and peace and love and access to God and communion to Him, because He says we have received the atonement. The propitiation between us and God is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. There's one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. God gave His best for us. What will we give for Him? He gave us His church. He established the work that we might participate in that which God has called us out to do, and that is to grow in grace and in knowledge and to leave this place as missionaries and evangelists and servants of God that will help tell Wellington and the surrounding area, wherever you might live, that Jesus is alive. We serve a risen Savior. Paul argued from the lesser to the greater here. He said, if God saved us, we were enemies. Surely He'll keep on saving us. Now that we're His children, we are secure in God. So the main theme of all this passage is being justified by faith provides hope because of all we have in Christ. You may not have been here 77 years ago, but the same God that started the church is the same God that keeps the church. The same God that saved souls 70 years ago is saving souls today. The same God that helped assist them 20 years ago is assisting folks today. The same God that helped your former pastor is helping your new pastor. The same God that supplies our needs continues to do it. We need to consider, my friend, all that we have in Christ. Think of all the blessings you've had thus far by being justified by faith. We have all these things given to us. If my grandkids can get excited about having an annual pass to a science museum, what about the children of God who have future access to heaven itself?
the blessings of knowing God, the majesty of His Word, the joy of His house, the excitement of brothers and sisters in Christ to serve together. Remember, it's a great blessing because you're having a fresh start down an old path. Don't change. Stay strong. Stay true. Stay committed. And realize that your help comes from God. The blessings of being justified by faith far outweigh the struggles we encounter in life. His love is shed abroad. Let's share it with somebody else because they might be at the end of their rope and they need hope. Just like the hope that we have, we can share that with them. And if we do that, when we stand before Him, I think we'll be glad that we did. Thank you for listening. Let's bow for prayer.